God is good. And firstly, I want to thank Pastor Yin Ming and also the church leadership for the invite to be able to share the message with all of us this morning, as well as those of us who are joining online. It's certainly a great honor, a great privilege to be entrusted the pulpit to be able to share the Word of God with all of us today. Now, before I share the Word, the message that God has, I believe God has laid in my heart, I would like to, first of all, bring you greetings from Pastor Jared and family. All right, you can see some of the photos up on the slide here. Time really has passed by so quickly. It's been about a year now. They have left Malaysia for Australia. They left Malaysia in September last year, and they are now settling well in Perth. Pastor Jared, as many of you may know, he's attached with one of the churches in Perth, and we thank God he's settling well in his role there. Caitlin, she's a wonderful mother, as she has always been, taking care of the children. Their hands are full, taking care of three bubbly and active boys. Not easy, yeah? Dominic, as you can see, is the one who's wearing glasses now. He has gone into year one, which is equivalent to our primary one, since beginning of this year. Oliver, our second grandson, he turned four a few months ago, and he has also entered Kindy 1 just last month in July. And the youngest of the Lord, Theodore, he will be turning two in October. We thank God for taking care and watching over them, and also for his guidance and direction upon their lives and their ministry at this season of their life. So really, God is good. Annie and I, we were in Perth to visit them not too long ago in April, spent some time with them, and we certainly miss them dearly. Yeah. Perth, the good thing is that Perth is not too far away, and we can always go there again and again and again, I suppose. Yeah, but God is good. All right. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
If you are ready, if you are ready for the Word, would you give me a wave? Yes, yes, and give me a smile as well, yeah? Thank you. That's very encouraging. I would like to share with you a message that is entitled, let me see if this works, huh? I would like to share with you a message that is entitled, Run the Race. It is taken from the text in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I believe this is a message for every one of us, all right? Regardless of the station or season of life we are in currently. As believers and as followers of Christ, we have a race that is set before us. Irrespective of your age group, you may be a student in school or in college or in a uni. You may be a young working adult, or perhaps you may be a young parent with young children, or you may be midway through your life in your 40s, in your 50s, or like some of us, you may be in the seniors club already in your 60s, and so on. Regardless of your age group, your vocation, or your profession, there is an important race set ahead of us, and we need to run that race well. You know, I was very blessed last Sunday by Pastor Kelvin Lee's message on make your life count. And I think it is a very timely and uplifting message, and we were greatly blessed and challenged to make our life count. And I think the message last Sunday is a precursor to the message that I will be sharing with all of us this morning. In fact, to make our life count, we need to be able to run the race well. All right, it goes hand in hand, almost in parallel. Now, if you have your Bible, Could you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? Alright, since there are only two verses in the text that we are referring to, I'd like to invite all of us to read it aloud. So if you have your Bible, either on your cell phone or your hard copy, or you can also follow me as we read from the NIV, which is projected on the screen here. So at the count of two, could you all read together with me? Ready? One, two. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Let's commit this time to the Lord as we look to him in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Father. Father, we are thankful that we can be gathered in your house today. We thank you that even as we look into your word now, would you, Lord, speak to our hearts and give us a fresh revelation of what it means to run the Christian race. As we listen to your words, as we apply your words into our life, Lord, may it make us more like you, Jesus. And Lord, this is our prayer, that you will help us to be more conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Bless our time together and the ministry of your word, for we give you thanks in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, the writer compares our Christian walk and life journey to a race. In numerous places in the New Testament, the Christian life is compared to the effort and exertion of a race. For example, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Paul also wrote to young Timothy, towards the end of his life journey on earth, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's found in 2 Timothy 4:7. That's Paul's aspiration and exhortation to Timothy. This race is not about a 50-meter or 100-meter dash. It is not a sprint, and it's most certainly not a walk in the park. Instead, it is a marathon, a race which requires endurance and preparation. It is a daily challenge which requires focus, effort, and perseverance to overcome the obstacles in our life. You are a long-distance runner, and that requires a strong forward focus to keep going. It does not matter how well we started. It is better to consider how well we finished the race. Now, in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, each time when you come across a verse in the Bible that starts with the word or the conjunction, therefore, you will need to read the preceding verses or chapter before that particular verse. So let me backtrack to Hebrews chapter 11, because it flows into chapter 12, so we can get the full context of what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the Hebrews Hall of Faith, because the writer of Hebrews lists down the names of men and women of faith, people who exercise trust in God during difficult situations in their lives. He will continue the thought from chapter 11 to chapter 12 by telling us, now that we read all these wonderful examples, since we have these wonderful men and women who exercise tremendous faith and trust in God during difficult and adverse situations, he's going to say to us, therefore, let this encourage us to run the race, the Christian race, with perseverance. He ends chapter 11 by basically saying to us, since these men and women exercise such great faith, even though they have not seen the Messiah, because they were all from the Old Testament era, and they do not have the full revelation of Christ, while we are here in the New Testament era, we have been given the revelation of Christ. He has died on the cross for you and I, for our sins. Yeah? If these people in Hebrews chapter 11 could be men and women of faith, and they have not seen Christ, how much more should we be men and women of faith? So there's a whole train of thoughts that's where the writer of Hebrews is going. The Christian race is not just any race. It's a grand race to heaven, where multitudes who have gone on before are cheering us on to the finish line. We get our start in the race of life by remembering that we are not alone. We are not the only ones to take the journey. People have run this way before. There's a whole host of committed believers who have run their race well. They are called a cloud of witnesses. Now, it's interesting because the Greek word for witness means martyrs. The word witnesses does not refer to passive spectators, as though these are people watching us from heaven. No, the truth is that martyrs literally means someone who bears witness to the truth, someone who testifies about the truth. These witnesses are those runners who have already crossed the finish line and are now in heaven, waiting for the rest of the saints of God. They are the great heroes of faith that the writer described in chapter 11, our spiritual forefathers who have run the same race that we are running now. People like Abraham, Noah, Joseph, and others who answered God's call and set out on the race set before them. Their examples give us encouragement, and we should run the same way they have. They encourage us because they have run the race and they have won their race. These were people who ran the race they had been given. They did not run perfectly, but they ran. They did not quit until the race was finished, and they endured unspeakable pain and suffering. Still, they ran. We need to understand that every one of those heroes of faith were men and women just like you and me. None of these were extraordinary people. In fact, James, the Apostle James, tells us in James chapter 5, verse 17, he said that Elijah was a human being just as we are, even as we are. They were merely common men and women who evidenced a profound faith in God. If they could live for God and serve Him, then you and I can as well. Now, these witnesses, they have revealed that God is reliable. The greatest encouragement that we can derive from those saints is that they are proof positive of the reliability of the Lord. If God took care of them, honored their faith, sustained them, kept them, used them, blessed them, and got glory from their lives, then He will do the same for you and I. God is absolutely dependable. The heroes of Hebrews 11 endured and overcome and overcame by faith. In like manner, Christians must do the same. More than being just examples, they are also our cheerleaders. They are cheering us on and they are cheering for us. As we head into chapter 12, that is the text that we are looking at today, the writer of Hebrews connects the dots and he said, as we consider all those wonderful examples of those who have gone before us, and as we run the race, let us throw off everything that hinders us and persevere on. He further encourages us and points us to Jesus as our ultimate example, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is a pioneer and perfecter of our faith. While we are in the race for Christ, we are in for the long haul. There's a battle of endurance, a battle of perseverance. There are three important points to note as we run the race, which we are going to look at now. I call them the three F's of running the race, and we will unpack them one at a time. So the first F is run as free as you can. The first thing in running the race and finishing well is to run as free as you can, or as light as possible. Now, this advice just makes perfect sense. No serious runner wants to load himself up with things which will get in his way when he runs. When you see a runner, they generally have a minimum of apparel on, so they don't have anything to hinder them or weigh them down. Runners wear light clothing or light shoes. Lighter means faster. If runners want to perform their very best, they will make sure they are not weighted down by any cumbersome load. Just as in a physical race that might slow the runner down, anything that might slow the runner down must be laid aside. The same is true when it comes to the spiritual race of the faith. The writer urges us as we run, throw off everything that hinders. In another translation, it says, let us lay aside every weight. Throw off those things that weigh us down, that encumber us. Now, the Greek word for weight is onkos, which means bulk or mass or a load which is bulging. It's not sin, but it is unnecessary weight. What are some things in your life that weighs you down? Some things in your life that you need to deal with. And again, they are not necessarily sin issues, but just things that encumber the race, that keep you weighted down from spiritual progress. They can be many things. A lot of stuff can weigh us down and not be sin. It can be your career goals or your job, your family, your friends. It could be as simple as life is too busy and full. There is no time or energy left to pursue your relationship with Christ. Maybe you're working too long and too hard and overstretching yourself to the point, to the extent that everything else about God has been squeezed out of your life. And maybe that's a weight. Maybe it's some friends and business associates you hang out with, and they are just weighing you down because they don't share the same values as you. And by close association with them and their practices and following, you are on the verge of compromising your Christian values and beliefs and following their lifestyles instead. And that could be the weight you need to lay aside. Maybe for some, it could be the hours wasted in front of a video game or the media screen. When you live for Jesus, you no longer live for your own agenda, but you now live according to God's plan. There are some things in life not necessarily sin issues, but these areas can change your focus, yeah, and make you lose touch with the most important things and running the race with endurance. The writer of Hebrews tells us, lay off everything that weighs us down, that hinders, that are trying to get us down. Our relationship, the Lord Jesus Christ, should be the most important thing in our life. Next, the writer encourages us to get rid of the sin that easily entangles. In the New King James Version, it says, the sin that so easily ensnares us. This refers to sin which we cling to, that distracts, that entangles, and trips the Christian runner. Whatever that sin is, it must be stripped off and avoided at all costs. Is there one thing in your life, if you could throw away, you could have a breakthrough and really grow with the Lord? For you, that is a hindrance or sin that so easily entangles. Whatever particular sin that may be in your life, in my life, that seems to be the stronghold. Our flesh wants to dominate us. Our flesh is insatiable. Our flesh is always wanting to rule. So as Christians, we have to die daily to self and crucify the flesh and continue to pray that God's power and His presence will be greater than any sin struggles of our flesh. God wants us to run this race as free as we can, without weight, without sin. What this means is that we let go of the things that slow us down. We put off anything that can trip us or prevent us from finishing the race. One of the things that happens when we read the Bible is that it brings us face to face with our shortcomings. Personally, when I read scripture, often I see the ugliness and the shortfalls that is in me. Sometimes it's painful, but it is for my good. The Bible says we must let go of those things or anything ungodly in our life that we know are wrong and weighty. The gentle, loving nudge of the Holy Spirit will convict us, and we need to take them off and stop carrying them around. There's a very fitting prayer by the psalmist in Psalms 119, verse 133. The psalmist prayed, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. May this also be our earnest prayer. God wants us to run freely, throw off everything that hinders and every sin that easily ensnares us, so we are able to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I love what Eugene Peterson, the one who wrote the Message version, the paraphrase version of the Bible called The Message, which I think Pastor Kelvin did share with us last Sunday as well. Eugene Peterson described the Christian life as a long obedience in the same direction, which is also the title of a classic spiritual formation book that he wrote. Each day, as a follower of Jesus, our goal is to continue to take small, incremental steps towards Jesus and away from the sin that so easily entangles us. Most days, it will be small steps, but they are steps nonetheless. Now, on this point of run as free as you can, let me share with you from my own experience. Annie and I are in the process of shifting from our current place, which is quite a big house, to a condominium, which is a smaller place. There's only just two of us, and Pastor Jared and family, as you know, are now residing in Perth, so we don't need a big place. The problem is, we have lots of stuff in our present house which we have accumulated over the years. There are just so many things, and we definitely need to download those items that we do not need, either by disposing of, selling, or giving them away. We are in our senior years already, and we certainly don't want to carry those unnecessary baggages and be cluttered by them for the rest of our lives. In fact, we need to declutter and travel light and free. This experience made me realize that we spend the bulk of our lives collecting things we don't really need. And then we spend the last portion of our lives trying to get rid of it. That's the irony, and that's the hard truth and lesson I am learning. So there's certainly a lot of wisdom about traveling light, to get as light as we can, and to run as free as we can. So that's the first F, run as free as we can. Now we move on to the second F, and that is to run as focused as we can. Verse 2 brings us to the second thing that the writer of Hebrews is telling us. We need to run as focused as we can. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. Looking to Jesus, our attention is not divided or singular, but our focus is on Jesus. The writer of Hebrews called our attention to Christ. He is our perfect example. He asked us to fix our eyes on Jesus. And he went on to say, he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Or what the New King James Version says, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, have you ever watched a baby learning to walk? As long as the baby keeps his or her eyes fixed on the parent, the baby will toddle its way across the room or the living hall. But as soon as the baby looks down at its little wobbly legs, the baby falls down. Now, I mentioned that our youngest grandson, Dominic, will be turning 2 years old in October. He started to walk or learning to walk shortly after a year old or so. Some months back, Jared sent us a video of Theodore walking or learning to walk when they were already in Australia. In the video, Jared was calling out to Theodore and beckoning to him to walk towards him. And as long as Theodore was looking at Jared, he was doing fine and kept walking in small wobbly steps. But as he looked away and as he was distracted, he stumbled and fell. It's very easy to lose sight of Jesus in running because we are distracted by everything else. It's so easy to be distracted in our Christian race and lose our focus on Jesus. Now in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 to 29, we read about the encounter when Jesus was walking on the water. And the disciples were just so amazed. However, among the disciples, only Peter is the only one who says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Now, a lot of people shame Peter for becoming fearful, and because of that, he sank in the waters. I commend Peter because he was the only one able to get out of the boat and do something risky like that. And Peter did walk on water. In fact, he is the only man that ever walked on water. As we read further in Matthew 14, verse 30, it says, "But when he saw the wind..." Now, it's interesting because you can't really see the wind. Right? It says that when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. He cried out to the Lord, "Save me, Lord." The idea is this: As long as Peter's eyes were focused on Jesus, he was doing fine. He was walking on water. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind and all the things that were coming against him, that's where he began to sink. It is important for us to stay focused on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter or the finisher of our faith. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says it so nicely. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He will help us to finish the race. The one who got us saved will help us to finish. The exhortation here is, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. May he never be out of our focus. Let me tell you a story that takes us back to the Commonwealth Games in 1954, which was held in Vancouver. The great event for that year was the Miracle Mile, because it was the first race in history to feature two runners who had both run the mile under 4 minutes. The press called it the race of the century. It would pit two of the fastest men on earth at that time against each other in the Commonwealth Games in 1954. They were Roger Bannister of Britain and John Landy of Australia. Now, Roger Bannister had broken the mile, had broken the feat as the first man to run the mile under 4 minutes, all right? In fact, in May, he ran the mile in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds in the UK. A month later, John Landy of Australia broke that record and ran the mile in 3 minutes, 58 seconds, overtaking the record set by Roger Bannister. Now, these two men had never raced against each other. So 2 or 3 months later, in August, in fact, it was 17 August 1954, all right? They come together to race against each other at the Commonwealth Games in Vancouver. Landy was the favorite. He led from the start, yeah? And when they came to the final bend, Landy was a few meters ahead of Bannister as they began to sprint. Landy heard the sprinting footsteps of Bannister behind him, and he turned over to the left of his shoulder to look where Bannister was. And at that point in time, Bannister, passing by, ran straight along the track and to the finish line. Bannister won that miracle mile. Landy only made one mistake. He took his eyes off the goal. He took his eyes off the finish line and he looked over to the left. You can see that in the picture here. Sorry. All right. Okay. You can see that in the picture, yeah? Yep. Because he looked over the left, that cost him the race. He lost the race and will go down in history as the runner who looked back. Now, that event was eventually captured by a bronze sculpture that sits in Vancouver Park today. So if you ever go to Canada, to Vancouver, go to Vancouver Park and look at a famous bronze sculpture of John Landy being passed by Roger Bannister as he looked behind on his left-hand side. Landy has this to say. He said, "You know, the Bible says, or the Bible tells us, that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt for looking back. I'm probably the only human on earth in history ever turned into a pillar of bronze for looking back. But guess what? John Landy never let the failure get to him. Because when failure like that gets to us, it traps us. I will continue the second part of John Landy's story as we get to the next point. So very quickly, to recap, the first point is to run as free as we can. The second point is to run as focused as we can. And we now come to the third and the final F. That is to run as faithfully as you can. Between the first two points, run freely and throw off everything that hinders, and the part about fixing our eyes on Jesus, in between these two things, is the idea of perseverance. The writer of Hebrews says, run with perseverance. In other words, to run as faithfully as you can. Run with perseverance. The race marked out for us, or in other version, it says, run with endurance the race that is set before you. There is the exhortation about not giving up. We have to keep pushing through, keep running the race with perseverance, and be faithful and consistent. Perseverance means being persistent despite the difficulties and challenges we face. The Bible teaches us to persevere in faith, trusting God to fulfill His promises. When we face difficulties, we can trust that God understands our situation. He sees our distress. And if we feel like giving up, taking time to remember God's faithfulness can strengthen our resolve. Couple of verses, beautiful verses that I'm going to share very quickly. James 1:12 says, blessed is the one that perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Another beautiful verse, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 to 26. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Verse 26, give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Beautiful promises that the Bible gives to us. Here are a few practical application pointers. Run with endurance, or run as faithfully as you can, means you get up and you have your quiet time. You have your devotion, even when you don't feel like it. Run as faithfully as you can means you remain faithful to the ministry God gave you, even though you don't feel like it's making good progress. Run as faithfully as you can means that you continue to follow the Lord even when people reject you, hurt you, or oppose you. Those things happen to every Christian, not just you. Running with endurance means that we don't let that stop us. We just keep on following Christ regardless. Run as faithfully as you can means that you keep following the Lord even as you go through some difficult trials in your life. You don't let those things derail you. You keep on putting one step in front of the other, following Jesus. Now let me come back to the story of John Landy. After John Landy's catastrophic failure in 1954 Commonwealth Games in Vancouver, he continued to train. Roger Bannister, by that time, had continued his medical studies, and he went on to become a very famous doctor. But John Landy continued to train for the Olympics in 1956, and that was going to be held in Melbourne, Australia. Remember, John Landy is Australian. A couple of months before the Olympic Games in 1956, Landy was running in an international race in Melbourne, a 1500 meter race. In that race, there was another runner, an American world junior 1500 meter champion. His name was Ron Clark. And in that race, what happened is that Ron Clark actually fell down. All the runners continued to run, except one. And that person was John Landy. He stopped. He helped Ron Clark up, made sure he's okay. And when Clark thanked him and started running, then only Landy started running. Now, to 1500 meter runners, this was an absolute foolish thing to do in an international competition that would decide whether you take a place in the Olympic Games to represent your country. It was a foolish thing to do. In fact, it was an utterly stupid thing to do. But Landy did that. He helped Ron Clark up. And then an amazing thing happened. Landy, being a strong runner he was, not only caught up with the rest of his competitors who were 50 meters ahead of him, but he, over the two laps that followed, Landy overtook the rest of the runners and he won that 1500 meter race. The whole of the stadium just erupted in applause. The crowd was just astounded, both by the courage of this man and also his sportsmanship, as well as his incredible, magnanimous and generous heart. And for that, the Australian built a sculpture that now sits in Melbourne Park today. So if you go to Melbourne, make sure you go to Melbourne Park and you will see the bronze sculpture of Landy helping out Ron Clark. Here's the thing. You go to Vancouver, you see Landy's failure. You go to Melbourne today, you see the great thing that Landy did. Landy eventually won the bronze medal in the Olympic Games in Melbourne. And just about 20 years ago, on 1st January 2001, John Landy became the 26th governor of the state of Victoria in Australia, a role he held till his retirement in April 2006. He was a member of the Sports Australia Hall of Fame, and he has received many other honours and awards that followed thereafter. He succeeded beyond his wildest dreams because he was able to put his past behind him and was able to forge towards the future. He did not allow the loss and the defeat in the 1954 Commonwealth Games in Vancouver to hold him back, but he strained forward with his focus towards the horizon and the future. We are called to do the same thing, straining in the present for the future. Apostle Paul wrote it very nicely in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." This is what Paul was training and maximizing in the present towards the future, to finish the race and complete the task of testifying to the gospel of God's love. Now, our Lord Jesus is the classic example of one who endured the race. He could have quit the race, but he didn't. The writer of Hebrews tells us in the second part of verse 2 that Jesus ran for the joy that was set before him. Where is the joy in going to a cross? Where is the joy of dying like a criminal? Where is the joy of being rejected by people you love? For Jesus, the joy was in what would happen when he finished the race. For him, the joy was the day of redemption that would bring about the salvation of all believers whom he had redeemed through the shedding of his blood. And the day when salvation would be ultimately completed, sin forever destroyed, Satan forever banished, and perfect righteousness would rule in every heart. That's why Jesus ran. He was able to look past the cross. He was able to despise the shame. He was able to think beyond everything he would be called upon to face in this world, as he was able to see you and me. He ran his race for us. We are what motivated the heart of the Savior to go to that cross and die. As such, in the same manner, we need to come to the place where we are able to look beyond the situations and circumstances of life and envision that day when we too will be home with the Savior. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. Glory to God. May that give us a second wind to be able to run the race with perseverance and endurance. As I close, and as I invite the worship team to the stage,